Good evening. Please turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 17, verses 9 through 13. Again, that is Matthew chapter 17, verses 9 through 13. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Now, as they came down from the mountain, Jesus commanded them, saying, "Tell the vision to no one until the Son of Man is risen from the dead." And his disciples asked him, saying, "Why then do the scribes say that Elijah must come first?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Indeed, Elijah is coming first and will restore all things. But I say to you that Elijah has come already. They did not know him, but did to him whatever they wished. Likewise, the Son of Man is also about to suffer at their hands." And the disciples understood that he spoke to them of John the Baptist.
To be here tonight. Hope everyone had a good afternoon. I feel compelled to say we usually on Sunday nights I preach a sermon that's a little bit shorter, usually, not every single time, but generally speaking, and that will be the case tonight. I only say that because the Super Bowl's on, and I don't want anybody to think. I don't even know when the game comes on, to tell you the truth. But I know it's sometime tonight. And don't think for a minute that I would shorten the sermon so that you could go watch the Super Bowl. Or so that I might go watch the Super Bowl. It is something that I've done all through the years. And so I won't keep you very long, but that's just what I always do on Sunday nights. You might remember, last week we talked about salvation and the demands of salvation. And so we emphasized that salvation demands that we give our bodies, pointing to the kind of life that we need to live, a morally upright life. And salvation demands that we guard our minds, because that's the first place the devil will attack when he's trying to defeat us. And then we must grow in grace. Salvation demands that we don't remain in neutral. The fact of the matter is we're either growing or we're going backwards. You can't stay in neutral very long. And so we said last week that there are many other demands, but we only had time to deal with those three. Now tonight I want to look at salvation again. This time we're going to talk about the deliverance of salvation. And it should encourage us. We should remember a lot of the things that we have been delivered from. And again, there's far more. We'll look at three things. There's far more than that. But time will allow us to deal with three things that we have been delivered from when we were saved. The first one is that we are delivered from death. If you have your Bibles, turn them to Ephesians chapter 2. You'll remember this familiar passage. We have dealt with it several times. But in this passage, I often point out, Paul gives us a before and after look at where we were and the condition of our souls. And that's today, we're sort of familiar with that. Many people, advertisers, whatnot, when they're trying to sell something, they'll give you a before and after picture. And, of course, you know that when you see it might be a weight loss situation, or it might be a makeup, whatever it is, they're trying to sell something. So they give you a before picture and then an after picture. And the before picture is always the most homely and ugly picture that the person could possibly take. And then, of course, the after picture is beautiful. And it's pretty effective. Well, in Ephesians chapter 2, Paul gives us a before and after picture of the condition of our souls and how we were living our lives. And the before picture is pretty homely. We were in a mess, but the after picture is wonderful. And so he simply put it like this. In Ephesians 2 and at verse 1, he said, "And you were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world." That's where we were. We remember, John said, this world is passing away and everything in it. But we were following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air. That's the devil. And so before salvation, we were servants of Satan. It's not a pretty picture, but that's where we were. And he goes on to describe us as being sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. That's where we were. We were heading straight for the wrath of God. We were going to experience the full force of God's wrath. That's the before picture. But then at verse 4, he says, "But God." We got ourselves into the mess, didn't we? When we were sons of disobedience, it wasn't anyone's fault but our own. It was because of choices and decisions that we made. But verse 4 begins with, "But God." Even though we got ourselves in the mess, God came to our rescue. And so, "But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." And so before we were dead, but now we are alive. Delivered from death. That's what salvation does for us. We are no longer dead, but we're alive in Christ. And now we have the hope of eternal life. We don't have to worry about physical death. We know that we have conquered even that. As even Martha recognized in John chapter 11, if you turn your Bibles over there, you might remember in John chapter 11 that her brother Lazarus had died. And Jesus, of course, was very close to the family, and so he went out to them, and they were mourning. And when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she ran out to meet him. And we notice the words at verse 21. It says, "Martha said to Jesus," this is John 11, and at verse 21, "Martha said to Jesus, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you.' And Jesus said to her, 'Your brother will rise again.' And Martha said to him, 'I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day.'" It's very interesting that of course, even back then, they all they had was Old Testament scripture, but they believed in the resurrection. And so she believed that she would see her brother again. But Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" And those of us who are Christians, of course, we answer that with a resounding yes. We believe the promise of eternal life. We know that maybe we will die, we'll see physical death, but at the appointed time, we'll be raised from the dead and have eternal life in heaven. That's the deliverance of salvation. We're free from being spiritually dead right now. We have fellowship with God. We've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, reconciled. Our friendship with God has been restored. And we have that right now. Remember, being separated from God is spiritual death. But we've been delivered from that. And now we learn from John 11, along with a host of other passages that speak of the resurrection. One day, even if we see or experience physical death, we'll be raised from the dead. So we don't have to worry about death. Too many people are obsessed with death and how they can prolong their life. And they're worried and filled with fear over death. But as Christians, we can look fear in its dark eyes and say, I'm not afraid of you. Because we know we've conquered death. Death has no sting when it comes to the child of God, because we have been delivered from death. I'll tell you something else. Number two, that we've been delivered from when we were saved. Salvation delivers us from the dominion of sin. And Paul talks all about that in Romans chapter 6. If you have your Bibles, turn over to Romans 6 for just a minute. And let's see what Paul has to say in this passage of Scripture. Romans, the 6th chapter. And beginning at verse 1, he says, what should we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. And there are all kind of wonderful things in those verses I just read. It takes everything in me not to just stop and talk about a lot of the things in those powerful verses right there. But I just want you to notice, as we continue to read, he talks about at verse 12, and I think we observed this passage last week, but at verse 12, he says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourself to God as those who have been brought from death to life. That was our first point. And your members to God as instruments for righteousness. Now here it is, verse 14. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. It is a wonderful thing. As God's children, sin doesn't have dominion over us. I've said to you many times before that in the Old Testament, that old law, of course, it had dominion over people. They were under the captivity of sin because the law couldn't help them. The law couldn't set them free from sin. The law didn't make provision for sin. And that is a terrible, terrible situation to be in. Like, I'm amazed how many religious folks think that we are still under the old law. That's more popular than you think. I was reading something here just this morning of an individual who, and it was related to our sermon this morning. He was a denominational fella, and he was condemning another denominational person for being a false teacher. I didn't know the name. I didn't know who they were. But he named the sin or the false teaching of this particular preacher. And what it was he said he's a false teacher because he teaches that we're no longer under the law. That made him a false teacher. Well, that's interesting. Since this individual probably was a false teacher on a lot of levels, but that's one thing he got right. We're not under the old law. But what's amazing to me is that there's so many people in denominational circles who think that we are and push and promote that. Why, pray tell, would you want to be under a law that leaves you in a state of bondage? A law that can't set you free from sin. I thank God that we're not under that law. That we've been set free from that kind of law. Now we're no longer under law, that is, that kind of law, but we're under grace. And all that means is we're under the law of Christ. And in the law of Christ, there's something that will help us when we sin to be reconciled to God. And of course, it's the blood of Jesus Christ. And so because of that blood, when we as God's children sin, there's something we can do about it. Again, under the old law, you couldn't do anything about it. Oh, yes, you could. You someone says you could offer up those animal sacrifices, but Hebrews chapter 10 said that it's impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away our sins. That was only a temporary situation. But in Christ, we have something that's far more permanent. We have something that can take our sin completely away. And that is the blood of Christ. And so it's a wonderful thing. Sin doesn't have dominion over us, can't keep us under bondage. Because we have a way to be set free over and over again. Whenever we sin, we just repent, ask God for forgiveness. And as John said, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins on the basis of our repentance and our prayer to God. And we remember when we pray to God to ask him for forgiveness, we have an advocate, Jesus Christ, who goes before the throne of God with us. He pleads on our behalf. And so on the basis of the shed blood of Christ and our repentance and our advocate helping us, we know every single time, whenever we sin, if we repent and pray God, the sin is taken away. We're not under the dominion, the power, the captivity of sin. And we should thank God for that. Now, that is not, ladies and gentlemen, a license to sin. And that's why Paul begins this chapter as he did. Should we continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means, the King James says, God forbid. We shouldn't have that attitude. And if we continue to read here in Romans chapter 6, we will see Paul giving us a picture of someone who has escaped sin. Sin is pictured as our old master, and we're only free as long as we stay away from sin. That is, we can't get back into the habit of sinning. If we do that, then grace won't help us. And so we have a part to play in all of this. But at the end of the day, we have to rely on the grace of God to take care of those sins that we commit when we obey the gospel. And we have it in Christ. Salvation delivers us from the dominion of sin. And we certainly should be thankful and appreciative about that. And then one more thing, very quickly. Sin delivers us from our past. And that's a wonderful thing to think about. And like when we think about who we were, remember the before and after picture. And before, we were following the course of this world. I didn't emphasize it, but you go back and read that passage. It's not like, well, some of you were following the course. No, all of us. We're dead in trespasses and sins. We were all servants of Satan. That's where we were. But we've been delivered from that past. It doesn't matter who you are, what kind of sins you have committed. As I've often said, it doesn't matter how numerous they may be. It doesn't matter how horrific they may have been. None of that matters. When you obey the gospel, you were delivered from your past. Paul in 2 Corinthians 5 at verse 17, you know the passage, Paul said that we're new creatures in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. That's encouraging. It doesn't matter what kind of sins you committed. That person that committed those sins, that's no longer you. You are a different person. You are a new creature in Christ. Delivered from your past. I know that there are some of us here tonight that did things in our past that we're very much ashamed of. That's not rare. Paul fell into that category. Like, he did terrible things. The things that he wrote about, that he was ashamed of. But he also recognized that he could forget about those things and he could press forward. He could continue to serve God without allowing those past mistakes, those past sins to bog him down and paralyze him because he knew he was a new creature. And that's true with all of us. There's some wonderful passages to consider along those lines. Let's just look at a few and then the lesson will be yours. In Ephesians chapter 1 this time. Ephesians chapter 1 and at verse 4, Paul put it like this. Ephesians 1 and at verse 4, he said, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. That's where we are as Christians. We're blameless before God. That's how God pictures us. We're blameless. It's not that we weren't guilty, but we've been acquitted. And so we're blameless. Paul, he taught the same thing when he wrote to the brethren at Colossae. Look at Colossians chapter 1 and down at verse 21. Colossians chapter 1 and at verse 21, this time he put it like this. He said, and you who once were what? Alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds. That's the before picture. But he says at verse 22, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. That's you now that you have been delivered by the gospel of Christ and the blood of Christ. You stand before God holy, blameless, above reproach. And again, it doesn't matter what sins were in your past. Look over at Titus chapter 3. Titus, the third chapter. And beginning at verse 3. Titus chapter 3 and at verse 3. Paul writes, for we ourselves were once foolish. And as we read the rest of this, I have to believe that Paul, of course, is writing. This must be an editorial we, because what Paul describes doesn't seem to line up with the kind of life that he lived. But he's just making the point. There's a lot of individuals this would describe perfectly. And so watch what he says, the sins of the past. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But, he says, when the goodness and the loving kindness of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us. Not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration, that's baptism, and renewal of the Holy Spirit. So what a list he mentions there, being foolish and disobedient and slaves to passions and pleasures and having malice and envy and hating others and so on. That's terrible. That's the before picture. But now we're set free from our past. You could read other passages where Paul described those at Corinth as being involved in fornication, homosexuality, and all kind of things. But they were washed and sanctified. And so it doesn't matter what your past is like. We know that when we obeyed the gospel, we indeed became new creatures in Christ. That old person, that's no longer you. Now you appear before God without blame and above reproach. That's the deliverance of salvation. Thank God for, there are many other things we could talk about, but thank God for the things that we have been delivered from now that we are saved and have the hope of eternal life. Let's be appreciative. Let's thank God for his grace, his mercy, his love that allows us to be where we are this very night. Are you subject to the invitation of Christ? Maybe you haven't obeyed the gospel. You can be in the condition that I just described, that Scripture just described for us. Your sins can be washed away by the blood of Christ. You can be a new creature in Christ this very night. Now, until you obey the gospel, you continue to walk according to the course of this world. You're still under the dominion of sin, following the prince of the power of the air. That's where you are. But your picture can change tonight. You can become a new creature in Christ, but you have to act. You need to repent of your sins and be baptized, Acts 2 at verse 38. And your sins will be forgiven. Are you willing to do that? I hope you'll do it. I hope you do it right now as we together stand and sing.